you're like me, you might have to use the table of contents, but that's in the Old Testament. And be towards the front of the Old Testament before the book of Psalms. So you're just Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, and you'll get in 1st, 2nd Chronicles. Okay. All right. And so we're going to be talking about 2nd Chronicles chapter 20 this morning. From the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, beginning with verse 1, hear now these words. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, and with them some of the Midianites, came against Jehoshaphat for the battle. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom and from beyond the sea. Already they are Hazmar Tamar, that is, in Gedi. Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord, and from all the towns of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and he said, O Lord, God of our ancestors, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of all nations? And your hand are power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? They have lived in it, and then they have built you a sanctuary for your name, saying, if a disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before the house, before you, for your name is in this house, and cry to you in our distress, and you will hear and save. See now, the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, he would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided did not destroy. They reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession that you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment upon them? For we are powerless against this great multitude that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Meanwhile, all of Judah stood for the Lord, for their little ones, their wives, their children. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jezreel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jehiel, son of Matthiah, a Levi, the sons of Asbah, in the middle of the assembly. He said, listen, all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them, and they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, before the wilderness of Jeruel. This battle is not for you to fight. Take your position, stand still, and see the victory of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Then Jehoshaphat bowed down his face to the ground, and all the Judah inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, the Kohathites, and Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. They rose early in the morning and went to the battle of Tekoa, and as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets. When he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy splendor, as they went for the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against Ammonites, Moab, and Mount Seir, and those who came down from Judah. So they were routed. For the Ammonites of Moab attacked the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroyed them utterly. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped destroy one another. When Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked towards the multitude. They were corpses lying on the ground. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat's people came to take the booty from them, they found livestock in great numbers, goods, clothing, and precious things, which they took for themselves, until they carried no more. They spent 3 days taking the booty because of the abundance. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Berlehiel, for there they blessed the Lord, and therefore that place has been called the valley of Berachok to this day. Then all the people of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat at their head, returned to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had enabled them to rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with harps and lyres and trumpets to the house of the Lord. The fear of God came on all the kingdoms of the country when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for God gave him rest all around. My friends, to the word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. So this morning, I want to talk to you a little about King Jehoshaphat. Now, we've been in the book of 2 Kings, and last week we met Jehoshaphat. He got involved in a very bad military scheme with our friend King Ahab of Israel. And remember in that story, Jehoshaphat asked Ahab, says, I'm not sure about this. Do you have a prophet of the Lord? I want to hear from him. And so they brought in the prophet of the Lord. He said, if you go into battle, you're going to die, Ahab, and your army's going to be scattered. And Jehoshaphat made a foolish decision by going to battle with Ahab, but God, in his goodness and mercy, spared him in that battle, and Ahab ended up dying in that battle. All right. Now, I want to kind of pick up what happens next. Here in 2 Chronicles, we get more of what goes on with Jehoshaphat. Because you see, in 2 Chronicles, it deals more with Judah and the nation of Israel, whereas in 2 Kings, it was mostly all about Israel. And Judah kind of gets the short drift. It's like in the New Testament, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All four cover the same time period. But you might read some in one gospel, and it's not mentioned in another gospel. And it's the same way with when you get into Kings and Chronicles. Now, Jehoshaphat is a good man. He's a great king. Chapter 19 talks about when he's appointing judges. That's what he told the judges here in verse 6. Consider what you're doing, for you judge not on behalf of human beings, but on the Lord's behalf. He is with you in giving judgment. Now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care what you do, for there is no perversion of justice of the Lord our God, partiality, or taking of bribes. Here is a king who is concerned about justice. And so when he's appointing judges, he said, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. God is impartial. He does not take bribes. You should be the same way. You should be delivering justice. And then it talks about in verses 8 how he set up the priests and such to kind of be judges. And in verse 9, he said, he charged them. This is how you shall act. In the fear of the Lord and faithfulness with your whole heart. And whenever a case comes to you from your kindred who lives in their cities concerning bloodshed, law, commandments, statutes, ordinance, then you shall instruct them so that you may not incur guilt before the Lord and wrath may not come on you and your kindred. And he ends by saying, deal courageously and may the Lord be with the good. So here is a godly king. He is concerned about the spiritual state of the kingdom of Judah. He probably looks over to the kingdom of Israel, their cousins, and see what a moral mess they got themselves into. And he's telling his judges and his priests, I expect you to act justly, and may the Lord be with you. You need to act in the way that the Lord would approve. Now, you would think if you had a godly king like that, you wouldn't have any troubles, would you? But then in chapter 20, verse 1, it talks about not one, not two, but three different armies have joined forces together to march on the kingdom of Judah. And verse 3 says, Jehoshaphat was afraid. You know, there's nothing wrong about being afraid at first. You hear something, it kind of takes you off guard, and it kind of scares you. You know, and fear can be useful. You know, when you're a parent, you teach your kids to be kind of fearful of the oven and electrical outlets because you don't want them to get injured. You know, there's a certain healthy kind of fear and respect about, you know, don't touch this, don't touch that. Don't be zooming down the highway 100 miles an hour. Don't be getting this and that. You know, and that's a healthy fear. But God does not want us to live a life of fear. So when he's afraid, what does he do? He said he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast. And it says, Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the towns of Judah they came to seek the Lord. So in other words, they had a great big church meeting, if you will, at the temple in Jerusalem. And then Jehoshaphat, the king, gets up in the temple and prays. And he says, O Lord, God of our ancestors, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? Now, notice in his prayer, he spends very little time talking about the problem. If you read it, he gives that one verse. Instead, he spends most time saying, Hey, Lord, you're God of all kingdoms. You're powerful. You gave us this land as a gift to your friend, Abraham, our ancestors. And you said that every time we have a hard problem, we were to come to this temple and call upon you, and you would come to our rescue. And now we got our next door neighbors, the people of Ammon and Moab. And Lord, you remember how those were kingdoms that Moses did not fight back in the day. We spared them because there was no need of that because we're related to them. And now they were repaying us by marching on us. Oh God, will you not execute judgment upon them? For we are powerless against this great multitude that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. So important in the battles of life. You'll find situations where it's not just one problem, not just two problems. You got three problems. You're getting hit by all four directions. You don't know what to do. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Remember what the psalmist said about how I will lift my eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. Or we look at that back window there in the corner where Peter was walking water. Then when he took his eyes off the Lord, he started sinking, going down for the count. And Jesus had to pull him up and said, O ye little faith, why are you looking at the storms? I said, look at me. It's so important that in our prayers that we don't spend much time praying about our problems. Because if you do that, you'll come off praying feeling worse. In your prayer time, your focus and your words should be directed at the Lord, giving him the praise, reminding him of his promises, asking for his help. And you should make a very quick and short reference to the problem. Whatever you focus on in your life, time-wise, is what's going to come bigger and bigger in life. And when you focus on your problems, they get bigger and bigger and bigger. But when you turn your eyes to the Lord, those problems get smaller and smaller and smaller. And so in verse 13, we have a gentleman, and it said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jezeel. The Spirit of the Lord, that is a phrase used a lot in the Jewish scriptures, Old Testament. As Christians, we would now say it was the Holy Spirit that fell upon him. And he says, this is what the Lord said, do not fear or be dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. And then at the end he says, this battle is not for you to fight. Take your positions, stand still, and see the victory of the Lord on your behalf, O Jew in Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. time and time and time again throughout the Old Testament, especially, we see the Lord tells his people, do not be afraid. I am going with you. Do not be afraid. And I'm sure some of you, when you heard the words about do not fear or be dismayed, you may remember that song about give to the winds thy fears. O man, be not dismayed. God hears thy prayers. King Jehoshaphat, people of Judah, do not be afraid. The Lord your God, this is his battle. Take your positions, but stand still. Let him fight your battle. And when they did that, they knelt down and prayed. And it talks about the Korahites, that's kind of like the choir group, if you will. They stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a loud voice. And then they go into battle the next morning. Now listen to what Jehoshaphat says to the people. Listen to me, O Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets. And when they had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy splendor, as they went before the army, singing, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. Now, that'd be like in our context, there was an army marching on McMinn County. And Mary Gentry called up the National Guard. And a pastor or prophet says, Mary, you don't even have to fight this battle. You just take positions. The Lord's going to give you the victory. And the mayor says, okay, well, that's the case. We'll put the army in the back, but we won't have all the choir leaders up front. Herb, that'd be you. What kind of song you be singing then, right? Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before, right? What about, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. And be kind of funny, right? You can tell he'd be nervous, right? They'd be hitting those low notes and kind of, and you can tell he was confident. Now, question. If you were in the choir that morning, would you say in the choir, you think that'd be a good time to sign up for the National Guard? It's time to sign up for the Army. Go, I lost my voice, Sergeant. I need to join the Army here. But King Jehoshaphat busts the choir in front of the Army. And they come down singing. Now, that's crazy in itself. Who sends an army out with a choir in front of it? And usually armies are quiet. They're over here having a little praise worship. But what happens? First, the Ammonites and Moabites, those are, if you will, cousins of the people of Judah and the Israelites, they attack the third army, destroy them, and then when they're done fighting them, they start fighting each other. Meanwhile, the people of Judah are on the hills watching all this. And it says, when they got finished, looked down, it was full of corpses. No one had escaped. They go down, and there's livestock, goods, clothing, precious goods, and people gathering stuff up. And it was so much stuff, it took 3 days of going back and forth to clean out the battlefield. You think, well, this is where we have the military parade, and you know, talking about what a great general we have. But listen to this. On that fourth day, then all the people of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat at their head, returned to Jerusalem with joy. Why? For the Lord had enabled them to rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with harps and lyres and trumpets to the house of the Lord. You see, it's so important that when the Lord gives you victory over your enemies, over those situations, in the battles of your life, that when the battle is over, that you take time to give him the praise. And I'm afraid so many people don't take the time to thank the Lord for what he had done for them. Oh, they'll complain, pray, moan, and groan before the battle. But then when the battle is over, they move on to something else. So important that like Jehoshaphat and the people of Judea, when God delivers you from the hands of your enemies, from that situation you thought was impossible, that you stop to give him the praise. And then listen to this. The fear of God came on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. In other words, during the reign of King Jehoshaphat, the Secretary of State, the Secretary of Defense, didn't have anything to do. It was quiet. Because all the neighbors around them said, King, whatever you do, do not go to war against Judah. They had an army come in of three different nations, and their God went down, fought for them, and destroyed all three armies. Don't go anywhere near it. And thus, King Jehoshaphat was able to reign in peace and prosperity during his lifetime. Now, what about us this morning? Are you like King Jehoshaphat, that you have sought to serve God with all your heart and live a godly life? Because remember, Jehoshaphat was doing that in chapter 19, before hard times came. And then when the hard times arise and fear strikes at your heart, what do you do? Are you like King Jehoshaphat, where you go to the Lord in prayer? And when you pray, do you, how much time you spend praising God for who he is versus spending time focusing on the problem? It may be in your prayers you spend way too much time focusing on your problems and too little time thanking God for who he is, when you need to reverse that. And then when God gives you the answer and says, I will fight this battle, do you have the faith and trust to obey and listen to him? You know, there have been some other kings, they have ignored that advice when the battle, and I think they were lost. But Jehoshaphat had such great faith. When God said, go and position yourself, but do not fight, that Jehoshaphat listened and obeyed and trusted God. And then finally, when God destroys your enemies and gets you out of that sticky situation, did you take the time to give him the praise and the glory? Or did you just kind of brush it off? Or one of my least favorite sayings, well, I just got lucky. No. There ain't no such thing as lucky when you're a child of God. That's God's blessing on your life. You didn't get lucky, you were blessed. And you need to thank the person who blessed you. So my prayer this morning is that when you look at Jehoshaphat, we see an example of a godly king, a man who sought to serve God, to obey his commands. And when things got tough, he turned to God in prayer. And then when God gave him the answer, he obeyed in faith. And then when God gave him the victory, he gave God all the glory and praise. Thanks be to God. Amen.